Good morning. What a schus it is again to begin our beautiful Wednesday with a daf of Gemara, to be in the world of daf Yomi. Somebody asked me a question, a valid question, a good question. Why are we starting our daf Yomi here at KSY, located in beautiful Ramat Beit Shemesh in Eretz Yisrael? We're starting the daf Yomi here with Maseches Sota. Why not start from Brachos? Why not start from the beginning of Shas? Why are we starting from the middle of Shas? So I explained that Maseches Sota is where everybody is right now. So the world of Daf Yomi is today on Daf, our Daf, the 23rd Daf of Maseches Sota. Daf Yomi is not just a matter of going through Shas randomly, but part of the beauty about this is that the world today, the Jewish world, probably tens of thousands of people around the world are learning the same Daf as us today. So whether that's virtual resources and emails and shiurim and tremendous amount of stuff that exists on the internet, or more importantly, things that exist in person. We bump into somebody in the grocery store and we're waiting in line. Chances are that person might be learning the Daf Yomi too. We can discuss something from the Daf on the train, on a plane, wherever that might be. We have the world that is focused on the Daf, which is special for me too. Hopefully I'll bring it up shortly. But I asked a friend of mine from Toronto a question on the Daf, and he was able to answer me because he teaches the Daf. It's beautiful to be a part of a real kahal, even though we have a nice small, a dedicated group here, but a beautiful group here. In Ramat Beit Shemesh, we're part of a much larger group that's learning the same daf. So it's not just a matter of, let's go through the whole Shas beginning to end. So let's go through a day of Gemara, another day of Gemara. Let's learn a daf, let's review a daf, let's think about a daf, let's discuss a daf. Let's be on the same daf as the world that has a lot of specialness to it. In addition, talking about Daf Yomi moments, it was very special. Because yesterday we had the schus of discussing Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about tzitzis. The Torah did not speak fondly of those who don't wear tzitzis, or the garments that should necessitate the tzitzis. We brought up Rav Lef's beautiful piece from To Dwell in the Palace, where Rav Lef has a great intro about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and what it means. Now, it was great because I got an email from Hakel. Hakel's a daily email that's sent to an organization in New York. Beautiful email with Hashkafa, Halacha, everything. And yesterday there was a nice big piece about Eretz Yisrael. So I just want to share that paragraph, if that's okay. Just, it really came off the daf and had beautiful insights. I thought I'd start by sharing it. I'll read as follows. Rav Shlomo Volbe in Ali Shor, Volume 1, page 281, teaches of the importance of Eretz Yisrael to teach of the importance of ourselves to teach in every one of us. It is the land about which the Torah testifies, Tamid Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba. Hashem's always watching over it. In fact, the Sefer Kuzari writes that the entire land is Lifnei Hashem, present in front of Hashem. Although every other country has a malach, an angel, which gives the country and the nation which resides within it its Tzuras HaChaim, its way of life, the same is not true for Eretz Yisrael, which has no other koach ruchni other than Hashem himself. It is only Hashem who is Mashpia, who influences on the land and its inhabitants. It is for this reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had such a tremendous desire to enter Eretz Yisrael. For although he spoke pel peh, meaning mouth to mouth, to the Shechina outside of Eretz Yisrael, it simply could not match the level of Hashras HaShechina that can take place in Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable that even Moshe Rabbeinu could not attain the level that one could reach in Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable. As we've noted in the past, the Ruchnius, the spirituality, is so pervasive that the Bach, Tur Or HaChaim 208, writes it in the Bracha of Main Shalosh, which is the Alamechia, Alaeitz, Alagefen that we say. We specifically ask Hashem that He rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so that we will once again be given the ability to v'nochal mi pirya v'nispa mi tuva, of eating from its fruit and being satisfied with its goodness. For by eating its fruits, we will sustain ourselves from the Kedusha Hashchina umitarosah. The land is thus so kadosh and tor, so holy and pure, that upon the return of our exiles, we will ingest great ruchnius merely by eating. Hakel note, now they comment on that from the Ali Shor. Now let's take a step back. The Arabs are attacking our people by means of bloodshed and hysteria. But they are doing even more. They are taking the land that is Lefnei Hashem, whose essence is Hashras Hashchina, and turning it into a terrorist playground, making a mockery of it to the world. For all of this, we should cry. Even with the great miracles of Achenu Beis Yisrael being saved despite the terrorist acts all around them, one need only compare what happened on foreign soil in one day to B'liayin Hara, the salvation that have occurred in so many terrorist attempts in Eretz Yisrael. However, one death, one injury, and one feeling of hysteria is tremendous challenge for our entire people. Let us properly reflect upon all that has happened and fathom its gravity and its intensity. In the schus of our doing so, may we be zocha to the nechama of the Torah itself. From Sefer Devarim, Harninu goyim amo v'chiper admaso amo. Nations sing the praise of his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and he will bring retribution upon his foes, and he will appease his land and his people. Bekarov v'yamenu. Amen. As David mentioned yesterday after Shir, also the beauty of what it means for it to be in Eretz Yisrael, for Tchias HaMeisim, feel free to ask David after the Shir for a great little zinger about, you know, just to reinforce how special it is that we're here and what we're doing here and how that all unfolds. Great.
And hopefully they'll make Elias.
Indeed.
And join us.
Baruch Hashem. We should all be Zocha. Fantastic. Nice little intro. Nice little encouragement of where we are and the schus of we should be feeling every day for where we are. Last point. Before I moved here, I went to go ask Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, kind of like his advice before I moved, you know, to move, not to move, or to ask for bracha. He was like, wow, like, to learn to teach Torah in Eretz Yisrael, like, what a schus. Like, it's a schus, it's a tremendous privilege. We should really feel as such. Okay, let's get started with Mishnah. Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Here we are. Says Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Omer. We're discussing what? We're back on discussing the previous Mishnah, that the schus can be tola for 1, 2, or 3 years. Let's hop right back into that machlokas. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this Eli would relate to Rabbi Shimon in the way that he says what he's about to say. Perhaps many of us can also, I certainly do. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein schus tola b'mayim hamarim. The schus is not tola with mayim hamarim. It doesn't matter if she has schusim, Torah, mitzvos. We had a beautiful shir the other day about the schus of Torah and the schus of mitzvos and what that all means and her. Great. But it doesn't matter. Vima to omer has schus tola b'mayim hamarim. And even if you're going to tell me it does, ma'ata tosa mayim defnei kol nashim hashosos. You're going to diminish the effect of the mayim hamarim. Why? Umotziyato shemral tohoro sheshasu. And by allowing it to have the schus tola, by allowing it to have its effect suspend itself for any period of time, you're going to be speaking negatively about the women that are tahor, she'omrim, because what will people say about them? Tameo saying, oh, really? She didn't blow up right away? Nah, she's still not tahor, she's still tamei. Elo she'til salam schus. But what happened? Schus was tola. So whenever somebody leaves the Beis HaMikdash compound and they're on the way back home, it won't be that there will be this unanimous response from the nation saying, okay, this woman's tar. No, her? She didn't blow up yet? Oh, she used to go to that shir at night. Yeah, that must be it. Oh, she was involved with the Chesed Committee. But you just wait a year and watch what happens. That's not a good thing. We want to create the sense of security, of peace for family, for everybody. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that let's not say that the schus is tola. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi disagrees. And by the way, on that vav, feel free to take a look, on that vav towards the bottom, we had a whole discussion there as to what extent Rabbi agrees with the Tanakhama. Because Rabbi agrees that schus is tola. Feel free to take a look there, some chazara from about 2 weeks ago, as to what extent they agree entirely. Rabbi Omer, he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, haschus tola b'mayim hamarim, that the schus is tola. That means that it does push off the punishment. Ve'eino yoledas, however, if she is guilty, ve'eino yoledas, she doesn't get this privilege of having a child easily, ve'eino mishabachas, and also, she's not blessed, like, it's not a whole beautiful, like, okay, great, she didn't blow up, and shalom al Yisrael, but it's not that way. Ela misnavna v'holechas l'sof himesa bosamisa. But she deteriorates. And she's going to die the same exact death, says Rebbe, that it's going to be the same death. So ultimately it will be known what she did and why she's being punished, but it won't be immediate. Right there we have a discussion with the Tanakhama and with Rebbe as to what extent they argue as to the type of death that this woman will have. But they both do agree that schus is tola. Now what happens if she becomes tameh? Sorry, if the mincha becomes tameh before it was sanctified in a kli shares. So other cases here, going off of the fact that schus could be tola or not. It's similar discussions before, right? What happens if she says, I'm not going to drink right before the kli shares and after the kli shares? So what happens if the carbon mincha got tameh before it was sanctified in the kli shares? So harei kachol hamenachos. It's like all carbon menachos, v'tipada, and it could be redeemed. However, the imamisha kitcha b'kli, now what happens if it was already sanctified in a kli? Then, harehi k'chol ha-menachos v'tisaref. Once it was sanctified in a kli shareis, then it must be burned. Rashi says on bottom, shekidsha kedushas aguf. It has now the high level of kedushas aguf. Once it went inside of the kli shareis, it's kedushas aguf. Ve'eino yotza o lechulin. It can't just be redeemed and go to chulin once again. And once it's kli shareis status, then that is it. Okay, now once we discussed general menachos that are being burned, or that are tipadeh, let's discuss other cases that where the minchos are being burned. The elu sheminchosen and nisrafos. Turning over to the next amud, top of chaf gimel amud aleph. These are other cases where the minchos are burned. Ha'omeres tamei ani lecha. What happens if the wife says, oh, I'm tamei to you? Then the mincha is going to be burned. V'shebo la'edim she tamei. What happens if edim come that she's tamei? Then the mincha is going to be burned. V'omeres eini shosa. What happens if she says, I'm not going to drink? Then the mincha is going to be burned. When is this, by the way? We had this. V'omeres eini shosa. That's only prior to the mechika. Prior to the megillah being erased inside of her cup. Because if not, then we force her to, once the megillah is erased, we force her to drink it. V'shebo la'eini eino rotza la'shkosa. What happens if the Bala changes his mind? Her husband says, you know what, I changed my mind. You don't have to drink the water, honey. Let's go home. So what happens to the Kar Mincha at that point? So we say, the Kar Mincha is going to be burned. He retracts. V'shebala bolel baderach. And what happens if the husband comes upon her? They are together with Bia on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Again, the Mincha is going to be burned. Why use the case of on the way to the Beis HaMikdash? Why not at home? Before they left. Baderach. Who cares? Yeah. Creative.
Has to do with his desires, I guess.
Interesting. Not an answer I've heard, but interesting. Come on, guys, you can do this.
One last shot, I guess.
Strike one. There's more. Okay, fine. It's 6:10. I mean, perhaps at 6:30 I'll feel more confident putting you guys on the spot. But baderech means what? What happened on the derech? We'll learn. We'll see. But they sent, right? We went whole discussion that they sent Adam together with the husband and wife. It was very easy for Adam to come and say they were together. You know, it looks like, you know, from what it seemed, they were together. So it's very easy, say the Mepharshim, that they can testify they were on the way. I had a different answer, which seems very mistaber, that what happens if they didn't leave the home yet, and they were together, and they know that it's not going to work? They're not going to start traveling to Beis HaMikdash. But what happens if they're leaving from Tveria, okay? They take their donkeys, there's no cars, there's no short flights, and they're basically here. They're camping out in Beit Shemesh on the way. They've already traveled for how long? How long does it take to get by donkey here? A long time. I don't know. 5 days, a week, more, 2 weeks? They're almost in Yerushalayim! And they were together. Let's just go. We've already spent so much time. Let's just go. So baderech means they were already on the way, because if they weren't, then they probably wouldn't go. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter how close they are, it won't work.
V'chol ha'nesu'os l'kohanim. I mean, the real question is, when does it start? When does it, like, what happened was, he was mekaneg l'ishto, and then there was Sira. And then there was, like, Adam came and told the husband. Like,
they went to the local Basedin, as we said.
They went to the local Basedin.
The local Basedin.
Now, until they went to the local Basedin, there's no problem. They could be together as much as they want, because there's no one, like,
Adam's.
It could be the husband doesn't even know about it, it could be whatever.
Right, seemingly,
so
right.
That's not a problem.
Right.
So you're saying, when does the problem start? The problem starts when they go to the local Basedin, and the local Basedin says, go to Beis HaMikdash.
Correct.
So at that point, That's what he's saying. At that point, from that point onwards, they can't be together, and including in their house. Is that? I'm just trying to understand what the question.
Correct.
Is. That's what you're saying.
Correct. But the baderech.
But the basin sends him right away, so that's why there isn't really time for the house.
Daf zayin amar aleph. Ketzad osala molichin lebasin shabosa makom. They go to the basin in that place. Moser lo shnei tamei chamim shema yavo aleho baderech.
Which page is it?
Zayin amar aleph, right up on top in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudom or Bala Nemanalev, and Rabbi says, no, we don't send Adam with them because the Bala is believed. Because the husband's believed, you don't have to send Adam with them.
Right, so they go to the Basedin, and the Basedin right sends them right away.
So you're saying practically that there's no time, right? The husband, you know, the Basedin says, all right, go to the Basedin Mikdash. Honey, let's pack our suitcases and go. There is no time for them to be together at home. Interesting. So, and baderech then is more metaphorically. It's just like, all right, you know, from the time there, it's just, they're just on the way. But do they have to go right away? The husband's got a business meeting the next day.
Malichim has to take them. It's not even they go.
I try to imagine what life was like. Imagine, you know, you got six kids in school. You got to find a babysitter, right? Who's going to watch your field? You're leaving for 3 weeks right now to go to the basement just to drink a cup of water. Can you imagine, right? If you and your wife are going on a trip for 3 days, there's a lot of planning. You got to pack enough food. You got to go shopping. You got to make food. I don't know. Maybe they just hopped on their donkeys and went. But malichanoso might mean, all right, we're scheduling for a trip for next Tuesday afternoon. Honey, let's make sure we take care of all the logistics. Maybe. I don't know. Ellie, I'm curious to hear how things were back then. You're right. It could have happened immediately, and therefore, Yavola Baderech is immediate. But you're right. According to the Mishnah there, then, it makes sense. Because the Edom then should stay with them even at home until they would leave. So because if we have that chashash, and it's not just Baderech. Unless it's what you're saying, Eliezer. Because Baderech, maybe you'll have more desires when they're on the road, because it's hard. Tough. Okay. Nice discussion. Let's move on, but it's very interesting to see.
By the way, from the berries, they could have taken a raft down to Jordan.
You serious? Okay. Fine. They're in Akko. Cholasos lakonim. And anybody who's married to a Kohen, minchosan and nisrafos, then their minchos are burned, right? That is because, of course, that a Kohen's mincha has to be fully burned, and therefore women that are married to Kohanim, their minchos have to be burned. Let's explain that. Bas Yisrael Shenisas LaKohen. What happens if a Yisrael girl, you know, she's not a Kohen, she's not a Levi, and she marries a Kohen? So again, minchosa nisrefas. In that case, her mincha is like that of a Kohen, therefore her mincha is going to be burned. The Kohenes Shenisas LaYisrael. But on the flip side, what happens if a Kohenes, meaning a Bas Kohen, is married to a Yisrael? Minchosa necheles. Her mincha is going to be eaten like a Yisrael. Because, again, we know that the status of kids, the status of a family, generally goes after the father in that regard. Ma bein kohen le kohenes. Once we discussed a couple of the differences between men and women and their kohen or their kohanic status. So, ma bein kohen le kohenes. What are some of the differences between a male kohen and a bas kohen, a female kohen, a kohenes? Says the Gemara, minchas kohenes necheles. Minchas kohen eina necheles. Sorry, minchas kohenes necheles. The carbon mincha of a kohenes, a bas kohen, is eaten, as we said, but a minchas kohen eina necheles, but the mincha of a kohen, a male kohen, is not eaten. Kohenes mischalelas. Another case. A kohenes, meaning a bas kohen again, she can be mischalel, as Rashi says, two lines down from the skinny lines, minha truma u minha kohuna. If she has some sort of adultery-like act, then she's no longer allowed to be with a Kohen, and she's no longer allowed to have from the... the Truma. The Kohen ain't Mischala, but a Kohen is not Mischala. A Kohen, right, the Gemara is going to discuss that his children can become chalolim, right? If he marries somebody he's not supposed to and he has a child through that, but he doesn't stay a chalol. If he leaves that marriage and he goes on to somebody else, then he'll be okay after he kind of divorces this person and marries somebody he's able to marry. But that was just fascinating. Hopefully we'll discuss that more on the next Talmud. Kohenes mitama lemesim. A kohenes, a bas kohen, she's able to be mitama lemesim. The ain kohen mitama lemesim. But a kohen cannot be mitama lemesim. Kohen ochel bekoche kochim, right? As we know, you know, cemetery, hospital, things of that nature, it's totally fine for a bas kohen, but not for a kohen. The excitement comes up. My wife's a bas kohen, and I'm a kohen, right? So, you know, so she's able to go to a cemetery or whatever, and I can't. But the excitement comes up where what happens when an Ashes Kohen is pregnant? Right? There's a lot of rage. So what happens if they have a male fetus? Can the woman go to a cemetery? Can the woman go to the hospital for checks and things like that? Because in a hospital, right, there's some sort of chazaka that there's a... Anyway, so I think generally the halacha is, if I remember correctly, that it's called a svek sveka. It's a double suffix. Because number one, maybe the child won't be a viable child. Maybe the child won't actually be born. And maybe it'll be a girl. I think the question, I've heard the question, I don't remember the answer, is what happens if you did an ultrasound and you know that it's going to be a boy? Do you still have the svecsveka? Right, but one svec doesn't, but one svec won't necessarily override it. I remember, so generally what my wife and I did, even just for us, is that we gave birth at Mayne HaYeshua in Bnei Brak, which is an unbelievable experience. Because that hospital is the only hospital in the world like that, it seems, where they have every floor is their own ohel. So, whereas in other hospitals, even like Shar Tzedek, so Shar Tzedek has a little sign, you know, when there's a mace in the building. But Tel HaShomer, where we lived right beside Tel HaShomer in the Tel Aviv area, so I asked a Rav around there, and he said, like, the whole thing is all, you know, the morgue, it's all connected. So we went there. Anyways, it was a little experience. We can discuss more outside of the shir.
But I thought it's even above. Technically, it's even going above, like, if you fly over a cemetery.
Correct. So exactly. So the way they built this hospital is that there's some sort of ohel between each of these floors.
It's actually like a full seal.
That it doesn't extend above. So if there's a mace on floor two, it won't extend to all the floors above it.
So there's a full seal of the.
I'm not sure the technicality, but excellent. Great. Koines mitam lemesim, vein koines mitam lemesim. Koin ochel v'kotche kotchem. A koin is able to eat kotche kotchem, as Rashi says a few lines up. Chatas v'asham u'mincha. V'kulam ksiv kol zohar v'koinim yochlenu. Kol zohar yochlenu. Ma bein ish l'isha. Once we already discussed the tangent of what's the difference between a koin and a bas koin, a woman koin, a kohenes, now let's discuss general halachic parameters for a men, for a man, and for a woman. Now, Tosus on Amud Beis points out very importantly, this is not an exhaustive list. It's only partial. But let's discuss a few nice of the differences between the two. Ha'ish fo rea ufo reim, case that's come up a lot already about a mitzora. A man who's a mitzora must let his hair grow, he must rend his garments, he must tear his clothes. Whereas a woman, ve'ino isha poras ufo remes, a woman does not have to rend her garments and doesn't have to let her hair grow when she has tzaras. Ha'ish madras b'no b'nazir, a father can make his son become a nazir. The ein ha'isha maderas b'na b'nazir. But a mother, a woman, cannot make her son become a nazir. Oh, when did this happen?
Shimshon
and? Thank you. Thank you. Shmuel, Chana was crying, right? Chana, the whole story with Chana and the davening and... So the Mefarshim jump all over this, and there's a number of answers that are discussed. Nazir Daf Samach Vav describes this process, right? You see that only a father could. So how could Chana make her son into a Nazir, the unborn son into a Nazir? How does that happen? So some of the answers are as follows. Number one, Elkanah, who was Chana's husband, agreed with all that she did, right? Betov Beinayich, he said. And therefore, that would work because she kind of said it, but he established it.
So
number
two, if she takes a Nazir,
right, so he can kind of affirm it to happen. Excellent.
No, if he doesn't say anything, then it's as if he agrees.
Correct. So the question is, can his not saying anything agree that the child is going to be a nazir?
It's the whole idea with the neder. So if she takes the neder to make him a nazir,
right.
Then...
Right, very good point. Another answer, since Shmuel was only born through the tefillos of Chana, she, right, because... It wasn't just like the child's born and then she makes him into a nazir, but because he was born through her tefillos, then it was like she had more potency, more power to actually make him into a nazir. And another answer is when Chana told Shmuel, her son, about the story of what happened, Shmuel himself decided to become a nazir, and therefore it wasn't Chana making him into a nazir. So we have three answers here. Either it was the husband, or it was her, or it was Shmuel himself. But there's various answers to how that could be and reconciled with this Gemara right here. Ha'ish megalech al nazirus aviv. A man, so to say, a child in this case, can bring his korbanos nazirus on the nazirus of his father. What does that mean? That if his father, who was a nazir, left behind unmarked funds for his korbanos nazirus, the father passed away, sadly. Now the child's a nazir. Can the child use the funds, the unmarked funds from his father, to bring his korbanos? So a man can, but a woman cannot. Ha'ish mekadesh esbito, as we know, a father can marry off his daughter. Ve'inoish mekadesh esbita, but a woman cannot marry off her daughter. Again, the Gemara on the next Amud will bring up sources for basically all these. Ha'ish mocher esbito, a father can sell his daughter as an ama ivria, like an Everett Ivri, but the female version, an ama ivria. Ve'inoish mocher esbita, but a woman cannot sell off her daughter as an ama ivria. Ha'ish niskal arom, a man gets stoned if he's deserving of the death penalty through skila, through stoning, then he is niskal without his clothes on. Veino isha niskal is aroma, but a woman is not. Ha'ish nitla, certain cases when a person is deserving of the death penalty, they will be hung. When they're hung, we do it right before shkia, and we take their body down right after shkia. It's just for a very, very, very short period of time. So ha'ish, by a man can have this din where he will get hung. Veino isha nitlais, but we never hang. A woman.
Doesn't that, what you said about the skila, go against what we talked about before?
About the clothes, right?
About the clothing, right? Because it was a matter of actually delaying the pain and making it, you know, whatever was what we were saying. So here...
Very good question, very good connection, right? We said that that like a woman would prefer, right? We said that a woman would prefer not to wear her clothing, to die slower, but to not have the embarrassment.
No, to die faster if she didn't have the clothing on.
Right, but I think we said back there in the Gemara that a woman would generally prefer to have her clothing on, die slower, but not to have the embarrassment, whereas a man, right? That was the discussion there. That's a great connection. Thank you so much, David. I didn't even think about it. Thank you. Baruch Hashem, it's nice to start connecting these Gemaras, that it's not just one-off dapim, but it's all connected. Last case, ha'ish nimkar b'gneva. So, a man is sold as an Eved Ivri if he steals and he can't pay back. And he's sold as an Eved Ivri to make enough money to pay back the person who he stole from. Ve'inoisha nimkaras b'gneva sa. But a woman is not sold as an Eved Ivri. So, nice big Mishnah. Towards the bottom of the Amud here, let's start on the Gemara. Here we go. Okay, says Gemara, Tanar Banan Kohan Asulas Lakuna, back on the case of marriage to a Kohen. Whoever is married to a Kohen, Minchosen and Nisrafos, as we said in the Mishnah, that their korbanos mincha are burned. Ketzad, what's the case here? Let's unpackage this a little bit. Kohenes levia v'Yisraelis, shenisleis the kohen. Any woman of any status that's married to a kohen, ein minchasa necheles. Her korban mincha is not eaten. Again, because her husband is a kohen, and that he has a portion of this mincha. Mipnei sheish lo chelek ba, because he has a chelek in this. What's the chelek that he has? Shumakriva mishalo, as Rashi says, it's his money. So we can't exactly eat this carbon mincha. Ve'ena ola kolel, but again, you can't burn the whole thing. You can't burn the entire mincha without the, you know, mipnei sheish lo chelek ba, because she has a chelek in it. So if she has a chelek in it, then she's got a, it can't just all be burned like it would be for the kohen, because she's not necessarily a kohen. She doesn't have the status of a kohen. As Rashi says, shela, because it comes for her kapara, and therefore what do we do? We're in a quandary. Ve'ena ola kol, right? Elaha komates korbasma. So what's the solution? We bring the komates, and that's kind of brought by itself. La shirayim kraven latzman. So the komates is burned, and then the shirayim are burned separately on the pile of the ashes. Okay? So we have this seemingly compromise where we don't just burn the whole thing, but also she doesn't eat it. So we burn them separately. Wait, says the Gemara, how can that be? Ikri Khan, kol shehumi menu li'ishim, arehu b'bal taktiru. We have a rule brought down in a number of sources, if you take a look on the side of the Gemara, Yuma, Yevamos, Zvachim, and Menachos, that whenever something is burned, if part of it is burned, you can't burn the rest of it. So we're going to say the compromise by this woman is to bring her kmitza, burn it, and then burn the rest of it instead of eating it. How can that be allowed? We can't burn the rest of it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bered Rishin Ben Pasi. How do we solve this problem right here? Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben, the son of Rabbi Shimon Ben Pasi. Demasik lehu l'shem etzim. Now what do? It's not like we burn it, the shame burning it, but it's like we make it into firewood from this bach.
Fuel.
So therefore, it's not burning it for the status of burning it. It's just this compromise where we'll just kind of get it up there. We'll squeeze it up there, and we'll call it firewood. Fuel. Rebbe Elazar. Like Rebbe Elazar. The Tanya. What does Rebbe Elazar say? It's going on Zvachim. Where we have to recognize general Kachim thought. All of an Ola is burned. chatos, not. Some of it's eaten. What happens if somebody's got a chatos and an ola limbs that are mixed together? What do you do? Chatos has to be eaten. The ola's got to be burned. What do you do? So the solution there is that you take the entire pile, you put it on the mizbeach, and what do you say? If it's a chatos, it should be firewood. If it's an ola, it should be burned. Great. Awesome. So fantastic. That's similar to what we're doing here. Rabbi Elazar, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Amar L'Reach Nichoach Yatamala. That means that you can't bring this chatos as if it's a Reach Nichoach, like that's the ikker part of the fire, like you would do for an ola. Avla Tamaleu L'Shem Eitzim. But you could bring it up for Eitzim. So again, just like you do that by a chatos, where you're not sure if it's a chatos, where it's a questionable chatos or ola, so too you could do it here by the woman, that the second part of it, we're not sure if she has the status of the husband or the wife, and we're not sure exactly what to do. So you burn the first part like you should, and the second part, bring it, and you just kind of put it up there like firewood. Hanichla, Rabbi Elazar, Dislay, Hai Svar. This is very good according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds of this Svara. Ela li Rabbonon, but according to the Rabbonon, that they don't hold of this svara, that you could put it up on the mizbeach with a condition, if it's this, then if it's that, then what can we possibly say in this case? What can we do with the mincha of the Kohen's wife? Back to our Gemara. Answers the Gemara, to avdi lehu, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We hold like Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, the Bryce is going to bring now. More about, as we discussed in the past, about a carbon ola v'yored. Carbon ola v'yored we had is a carbon that has to bring as a chatos, but it depends on the person's status as to what they have to bring. So if the person's wealthy, they'll bring a nice animal. If the person's of lesser means, then they'll bring two birds, right? If the person's really kind of destitute, then they bring a carbon mincha. Now there's a machlokas with how this mincha is treated. The Tanakama hold, and again this is in Menachos in Yevamos. The Tanakama hold that because the Torah uses the words v'haysa l'kohen kamincha, then that means that it's treated like the mincha of a kohen, and therefore it will all be burned. Rabbi Shimon there holds, and this is the opinion that we're holding. Like Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no rule there by the mincha that once the kohen is burned, then the rest may not be burned. So what do you do? Just burn the kohen and then burn the rest of it separately. So the Rabbanon are holding like Rabbi Shimon there, where it's not like you can't burn it all, it's just you can't burn it all together. And therefore, just like the mincha there by the carbon ola v'yored has to just be burned separately, the Rabbanon here, who argue with the previous case about this condition, who don't hold up conditions, they say it's even simpler. Just burn it separately, and that's totally fine. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaKometz Karav Ba'atzmo, HaShirai Mispazer, Nal Beis Adeshen. Bring the Kometz on Mizbeach. Fantastic. Buy this carbon ola v'yored, and then just kind of sprinkle the Shirai and the leftovers onto the Beis Adeshen, onto the ash heap, and you're fine. You don't need to start making a condition if it's a Chatas, if it's an Ola, what's the status of this woman. You're good. Put on the Mizbeach, and you are fine. Now, Fila Rabbanon, Lo Plig Alei Rabbi Elazar, turning over Ahmed Beis, and even the Rabbanon don't argue with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ela b'minchas chote shel kohanim, debasa kravahi. Only by the case of the minchas chote by the kohanim, because that's supposed to be brought. Aval b'ha, fil Rabbanon modu, but in the case of the wife of the kohen, the Rabbanon agree. So again, the question back here, which we started, we were discussing the differences between a kohen and a kohenis in the Mishnah. We try to understand what the status of this Kohen's wife is and what happens with their Korban Mincha. Because as we know, a Kohen's Mincha is all burned. Very important to remember. Kohen's Mincha is all burned. And a Yisrael's Mincha is eaten. It's Kmitza and then it's eaten. So what's this woman's status? Who's the wife of a Kohen? Again, so we do this. We burn the first part and then we burn the second part. Either according to this condition or just in separate piles. But either way, it seems to be okay to do. Four lines down from Amud Beis. Bas Yisrael HaNesuah V'chulu. Now we have a bunch of two dots, as you can see. Two dots, two dots, two dots. We're going through the sources of a number of the rulings from the Mishnah. It really flows nicely. Right? Here we're discussing Bas Yisrael HaNesuah V'chulu, that if a daughter of Yisrael is married to a Kohen, then her mincha must be burned. But if it's a Bas Kohen and she's married to Yisrael, then it's eaten like a Yisrael. So, right? If she's a Bas Kohen, she's married to a Yisrael, and she eats it, because again, it goes after the husband here. My taima, damar krav v'chol minchas kohen kolil tielo sechal. The pasuk from Vayikra says that it's any mincha of a kohen. That's all burned. It's not eaten. Kohen v'lo kohenes, but not a kohenes. So if there's a kohenes, a Bas Kohen, that's married to a Yisrael, then it can be eaten like a Yisrael. Next two dots, Kohenes Mischalelas, Kohen Ein Mischalel, that if a Kohenes marries incorrectly, so to say, then she's disqualified forever from future statuses about eating the truma, about marrying a Kohen in the future, but a Kohen is not. Minolon, from where doing this. And by the way, this stuff applies today. I remember that while I was shidduch dating, so I remember like somebody was read to me, like the halachos of a Kohen today are really in effect, you know, whether it's a giyores or whether it's somebody who might have done certain questionable things. Like, these things are all very, very real. There's very halach lamaisa here. It's powerful. Our statuses remain. Kohenes mischalelas, Kohen ein mischalel. Minolan, de'amar kra, v'lo yichalel zaro ba'amav. That in the case of the Kohen, it's describing that his seed shouldn't be metame, which means that what? Zaro mischalelim, that when a Kohen does something wrong, right, he marries the wrong person, he's with the wrong person, then his children become chalolim, v'hu eino mischalel. But he, right, zaro, his children, but not him. Whereas a Kohenes, it would be. This is brought up heavily when, in a Gemara that we often learn in our childhoods, the Amid Daf Beis, Amid Aleph of Maseches Makos. Right? Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, not him, not her, right? Because it's him. All right? And we can't make the children into Ben Chalutza or Ben Grusha, and therefore we don't. But we have this whole discussion there about what happens Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, and we can't do the same thing to the Kohen because it's his children that gets affected and not him. Anyways, we had a whole discussion there. Then we have, right, the whole... Anyways, take a look there. Kohenes mitam of chulu. Hey, Kohenes can be mitam emes, but not the husband. My time amar kra emorala kohanim b'nei aharon. End of quote. B'nei aharon vol b'nos aharon. That means that the b'nei aharon can be, like, have to be withhold from being mitam emes, but not the b'nos aharon. And by the way, all these cases...
Do you have any daughters?
Yes. Do I have any daughters? Oh, so I was about to bring up that point. It must be that in each of these cases, where seemingly that's just the linguistic style of the Gemara, the Bnei Aron, Zaro, the Torah has to be male or feminine, like male, like feminine or masculine, right? So it's hard to say that every one of these cases, it could have been said a different way, but it must be that way. It must be that even though we're not unpackaging these fully, it must be the Torah saying it like this, but it could have said it in a different way. And that other way would have included men and women, but because it's set up like this, it's exclusive to men and not for the women, Eliezer. So that's a good point. I wrote it down here to share, because each one would need a little bit of an analysis to how it should have said it, had it also wanted to include the women in this category. Kohen ochel b'kotche kotchem. A kohen can eat kotche kotchem, whereas a woman cannot, a kohenes cannot. D'ksiv kol zocher b'bnei aron yochlena. Again, similar to the last case, kol zocher from the children of Aaron can eat it. Uma bein ish v'chulu. What? Now we went to more general man, woman stuff. Tonarbonon ish, in the elo ish, isha minayin, about a tsarua. The word ish here seems redundant. We're talking about general stuff about the difference between a man and woman, and what we said was that an ish tears his clothes and has to grow out his hair, but not the woman. How do we know that? Why do we say that a woman not? That we generally know that a woman is included in tsaras, the general dinim of tsaras, because we have a redundant word of a hatsarua in the concept. The hatsarua asher bo seems to say that there's more than one tsarua. We're already talking about a person that has saras, because the Torah used the word sarua, it shows that there's two, which means man and woman both. Imkein matam lomar ish, so then why do we have the word ish? So again, because we have the word sarua, which shows that men and women are both included in saras, ish comes to limit l'inyon shalamata, ish poravachulu. Ish comes to limit that which we said in our Mishnah. So vahatsarua says that the concept of saras applies to men and to women, whereas the word ish limits those concepts by foreya and foreim. As we said in our Mishnah, Ish Madras Beno Benazir, a father can make his child into a Nazir. Vein Ish Madras Beno Benazir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Hi Benazir. This is a Halacha Moshe Misinai. There's not a pasuk behind it. This is passed down. Ish Megalech Al Nazir Saviv. Vein Ish Megalachas Al Nazir Saviya. Again, the concept of the karbanos, if the father left these unmarked funds for the karbanos nazir, can the child use them? The son can, the daughter cannot. Amar Rabbi Yochan, again, halacha hi benazir. Ha'ish mikadesh esbito, the father can marry off his daughter. Isha mikadesh esbita. Diksiv, esbiti nasati leshazeh, because he says, my daughter I'm giving to this man. And in the context of the Torah, it's the father speaking. Therefore, we limit that to the father and not to the mother. Ha'ish mocher esbito, veino isha mocher esbita. A father can sell off his daughter as an amavriya, but the mother cannot. Diksiv, ki yimkor ish esbito, if a man will sell his daughter. Two dots. Ha'ish nisgal arum v'chulu. My taima, urgamu oso, right? We say that a man gets stoned without any of the clothes on, but a woman does not. So why? Because the Torah says, urgamu oso, my oso. If we're going to say that oso, ilim oso velo oso, if we're going to say that it's general concepts of stoning, the Torah says elsewhere that the man or woman are subject to stoning. So why use the words urgamu oso? Why limit it to oso again? Ela oso blok suso. Him without his clothes. Blo osa blok susa. So we're going to stone him without the clothes on, but her not. Two more here. Ha'ish nitlav ein v'chule, right? A man is hung, but a woman is not in those certain circumstances. My time armakra visolisa oso alates. Oso blo osa. Again, you hang him, but not her. And again, all these things must be done in a context where there's another way to say it. Ha'ish nimkar b'gneva so, v'en yishan nimkar b'gneva so. A man is sold, but not a woman is sold. If they steal, and they need money to pay back the person who they stole from. My time armakra v'nimkar b'gneva so. B'gneva so is masculine. B'gneva so, he can get sold in his stealing below b'gneva so, but not in the stealing. Right? Tosas brings down a fascinating point. Last Tosas on the Amid, b'gneva so, v'lo b'gneva so. Tosas brings down the Gemara in Kiddushin, coming up soon, Bezrat Hashem, in Daf Yomi world, that there's a din that an Eved Ivri that wants to remain with the owner past 6 years, what do? We pierce the ear. So the Gemara says, how do we know that the din only applies by an Eved Ivri and not by an Eved Ivriya? Because it says, ozno, not ozna. Fantastic, that's the Gemara in Kiddushin. But what do we just say here? That a woman can't be sold. A woman can't be sold. If the woman can't be sold, then we're not going to come onto a case where you got to poke out her ear. So answers Tosus beautifully, very simple. A woman can't be sold by who? By the father. But by Beis Din, it's a different story. Feel free to take a look at the bottom line. Vishlam, came with Ina Nimkeres El Aladei Aviha. She can't get sold only by the father. So Daitoch Tevi Mechira Da'ab Imcho Mechiras Beis Din. The father can do so. Vitirten, and then her ear, in terms of her ear, L'hachi Itzrech Kra, you need the pasuk there to show us that once she's sold, can't make it happen. I just have to share this Chedushei Torah my sister bought for me about, about 10 years ago, okay? And I took down every so often insights into the daf, which I wanted to remember into this. And when this came up about the piercing of the ear, Kiddushin daf chav beiz amad beiz, last cycle, I wrote down this whole thing about the piercing of the ear, and I felt compelled to share it. Piercing of the ear, the Gemara says, right, about by an eved ivri, that if his ear is pierced after 6 years. What is the word that the Gemara there uses in the Gemara there, in Kiddushin? Manashtana ozen mikolei verm shebaguf. Right? Why do we pierce the ear out of any part of the body? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ozen sheshama kol har sinai b'shal she'amra ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. That the ear that heard, that children should be for me, right? V'lo avadim, lo avadim. And not slaves to slaves. V'halav zah, right? V'halav zah, right? And this guy goes and wants to be a slave to somebody else. Therefore, we pierce his ear. Pierce his ear? I was thinking, and it bothered me for a while. Pierce his ear? Let's pierce his mouth! Let's give him a tongue ring. He said, Nasa v'nishma. His ear who heard? Who cares if he heard? We hear many things. The ear, the mouth obligated himself on Nasa v'nishma. Pierce his tongue. Nasa v'nishma. Okay, we're going to stop now. Hopefully we'll start tomorrow morning with explaining that a little better. Why the ear? What is the importance about the ear? A little bit of a morale there. Shema Yisrael, what is the beauty about the ear and listening? What does that mean? Rather than the tongue that said and obligated all of ourselves on Asa Nishma. If you have any thoughts, feel free to share them. Hajr Lach, Hayanotel, and Maslava on the third parak. Yom Yisrael tomorrow morning, fourth parak.